The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
So Libsyn, you kind of sprang on the scene kind of early there with the podcast.
We were. October 04 wow. was the beta testing, and then I think first customer was December 04.
What the hell possessed you to do that?
Well, I mean, it was, I wanted to do a show, and all the other guys that had been doing Web Mayhem, which was their web company, and it was basically, I was trying to figure out how to do, I was even trying to use .Mac and iBlog and figure out the RSS feed things, and it was just too difficult. So it was obvious, and we built, I don't know, in like 98 or something, we built something called emayhem.com, which is currently down. We have to get it back up, but it was an artist tool site, you know, where people could put up galleries and writing samples and, you know, videos and music and stuff. So we've always been into that tools for artists kind of thing. So initially we thought, well, we'll build in podcasting support to this existing site. But then, you know, halfway through it, and the site was built 3 years ago, we decided it was just easier to start a new service. And then, of course, you know, the questions, the big problems were the space and RSS creation and the bandwidth. And we kind of just very blindly said, okay, things have to have changed. Bandwidth has to be cheaper. You know, storage space is cheaper now. There's no reason for the prices as they are. So we just started experimenting. But it was really just sort of out of the blue with no idea of what we were getting into.
And just to summarize, you know, Libsyn is a service, not free, very affordable. I'm not going to say cheap. Very affordable service that can get your podcast from point A to point B with the least amount of pain points possible.
Trying our best with the least amount of pain points possible.
And that's those are actually words from Jake. When he's done, you know, he looks at just about anything that flits across our desk that has to do with podcasting, and he's been recommending Libsyn for quite a while. So
we saw, I guess, early on, I was just kind of ego surfing. I came across his thing, and that was very exciting.
I don't remember when the first time I wrote something about Libsyn was, but it was probably, it might have still been in 2004.
Yeah, I think it was. Cause it must have been like a month out or something. And just the fact that somebody, we hadn't opened up our service yet. We just had a splash page and everything, and somebody on the Yahoo list found us, and then we had like 5 signups, and we hadn't hooked up a payment system yet. So we were like, oh man, this is going to be huge. This is great. And we got very excited, and you know, going out and seeing people writing stuff, it really got us pumped to move into high gear.
So how many customers do you have right now?
I think we just hit 3,300.
Wow.
I guess we're like at 3,350. That comes in first.
That's substantial.
Considering there's supposedly only 22,000 podcasts, you're doing well in the market.
Yeah, I think there's a crazy noise there. We've consistently been over 10%, which if we can, you know, we're trying to increase that percentage. But yeah, it's a good chunk.
So walk us through the process with Libsyn.com. We go to libsyn.com.
Yep, you just go in there, you sign up, pick a package, starts at $5 a month. $5 gives you 100 megabytes of upload per month, so you get sort of a rolling space that increases. We do a funky little thing there. Sign up, create a username, and then you can pretty much log in instantaneously. We use PayPal as our merchant thing, which some people aren't too happy about. But then once you're in, we expect that you have created the media file. That sets us a little bit apart. The services like Audio that does such a great job of making it absolutely painless where you can record in a browser. We do kind of expect that you know how to create an MP3 file. But then at that point, it's the kind of thing where you just upload it, either web or FTP. There's a publish tab where you fill out the information. We give you a simple kind of fugly blog engine, and you know, pretty much everything's there. We'll do the RSS feed for you, and we'll give you the blog, and then we give you the space, and we don't meter for bandwidth.
So
people, go ahead.
No, please, continue.
Some people use us just for the hosting of the files because we keep a static URL for the files at all times. Others use our full package.
What kind of feedback do you get from your customers on a regular basis?
From the get-go, people were telling us, okay, you're doing this wrong. This doesn't make sense. So we try to listen as much as possible and continue to bring in the features that people are looking forward to or want. And then, of course, you know, it's just there's a lot of people out there that are very, very new to this. So we spent a lot of time explaining, you know, about the submission process to iTunes and that sort of stuff. The feedback's good. For the most part, the customers are all awesome, and literally their word of mouth built our business. So We owe it to them.
It's all word of mouth, no other advertising.
Well, we do, we have a little deal with the pickle, and, you know, we did one college dean thing. But otherwise, we don't really have a budget for that. Otherwise, it's been all. We have a referral affiliate program, too.
Ah.
So that's gotten us a lot of sign-ups.
Now, when you say we, how many people are in Libsyn?
There's 5 to 6 to 7. 5, really, that are working all the time on it. We started with 4 guys. So we got a new guy that was one of our customers. We saw him helping out people on our forum. And we brought him on, and his name's Bunt Jackson. He's a monster. He's the guy that came in during the times that we were having problems with our statistics, and people were getting upset because we had statistics that was an engine that would break down, and podcasters know that they love those statistics.
Yeah.
That's what keeps you going. And Blunt came in and whipped it into shape, and now, you know, it's very close to real-time reporting. It updates like every 30 seconds when healthy.
Wow. That's pretty substantial. What's your
what's
your biggest podcaster? Or I guess who?
Where is that public?
it's not really public. You know, a lot of guys say, we have something on our site now, it's called celebrities.libsyn.com, and a very, very good friend of ours suggested that we do that. And we're having our customers that like the service want to help promote, or, you know, doing a little picture, kind of like a milk ad on the front.
Hmm.
And I think it's okay to say it. That was Wichita's idea. So
celebrity.podcast.com?
Or
podcast, libsyn.com.
Right.
That's kind of I understand it stands for, what is it, Liberated Syndication?
Mm-hmm.
It's just Libsyn just sounds so weird.
Weird. It's not quite, there's not enough consonants in it, right?
Yeah.
If it was Shakespearean, you need something a little more guttural. Or
right.
You
know, it's very Russian to me, you know?
Yeah.
There should be R on the end, like Libsyner.
Libsyner. Well, yeah, I mean, we've been kind of using that as a pet name for ourselves a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a sinner. We were trying to see if we could do, you know, do the old verbiage. Somehow, can you sin it? You know, like Google it or whatever. But yeah, no, I think it's a passive name, but I think it's unassuming. I don't know. I've grown to like it.
So
Red State Chick Can came up with that one.
What are you guys working on for the future?
Well, we've got something in beta right now that one of our customers is using that is networking tools. Mm. So what it does is aggregates multiple accounts into sort of a network. And this one I can say, it's the Radio Memories Network, and it's an aggregation of over 60 podcasts. So you go to the site, and it very much looks like one network together, and things are broken out into channels, and there's OPML to pull the whole thing together. But that's where we think, I mean, obviously a lot of people are aggregating themselves together to get their numbers up, to get their audiences up, potentially to look for sponsors and that sort of thing. So we think that's very important. And then we're keeping our eyes on this pay for podcasting space to see. I think that could be a big demand for that. From the start, a lot of people were interested in charging, and there's always the debate of what makes sense. You know, if you want to hit this maximum audience, but I think this is going to definitely be a place for that. So we're looking into that as well. We have some statistics upgrades, because basically it's still the 1.0 system we've had. And overall, we just want, when we have a chance, we're going to overhaul the whole system.
So do you consider yourself a solution just for enthusiasts?
As opposed to beginners?
Well, no, I guess enthusiasts, I'd put them not necessarily in the same category, but yeah, okay. Enthusiasts, beginners, or I guess the junction point between the two?
Right, I guess we are focusing on the little bit more advanced content creators, because we don't have the casual thing in place. You know, it's very much for the people that want to have shows, that want to get their numbers up, and that want to pay. So that also is a kind of a point of entry that people have to get by. So if they really want to do it, you know, there's services out there that are free, but people do have to pay $5 a month to work with us. There are no contracts, though.
Oh, that's nice. Here's a question for you. Well, kind of inadvertently from the chat room, Michael in chat asks, are there more podcast directories or more actual podcasts?
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very loaded question.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We say, they're, you know, geez, we don't need another one, but I don't know. I think they're more like, I like the idea of the coffee shop. So, you know, they're all just doing the same amounts of aggregation, but the way that they present it and the people that hang out on the forums, it's like your own little local coffee shop.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're hanging out on the Pickle, it's totally a different feeling than when you're hanging out on Podcast Alley. Or if you're browsing, you know, iTunes is very much a much more self-centered sort of experience as far as the aggregation. So, you know, just like coffee shops, it's cool. Different people hang there. There'll be different discussions, different attitudes. So I think, you know, I don't think that there are too many, or there could be too many. Plus, competition is good.
And see, if people are saying, if there's a rough estimate that there's 20,000 podcasts, that sucks. Dude, and the amount of buzz that surrounds that word is like you think there are millions of people doing it.
Well, there's got to be more than 20,000, but what, there are 22,000 in iTunes. And I think that might be...
Well, that might as well be the benchmark, though, because, well, at least half our traffic comes from iTunes.
Right, and I guess we see about 75% of the traffic coming through iTunes, but I think that that's going to change. It'll be interesting to see
really?
What happens on the mobile phone platforms. Yeah, totally.
What the hell makes you think it's going to change?
Well, I mean, I don't equate it totally to the AOL world where you're sort of locked in a box, but I think it's very good for people to get to just find out that there's cool podcast stuff happening outside the world of these main aggregators like Yahoo, like iTunes. And, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room there. And certain things make sense to go on your iPod. Other things make sense to go maybe in your TiVo or maybe in your Mac Mini or whatever.
You know,
I think there's still. Listen, the game's not over, certainly, and things have to change.
Well, yeah, I'd agree with you there. I don't think the game's anywhere near over. I just think that there's so much hype that surrounds podcasting. One of the reasons why I kind of admonished it in the very beginning, I didn't like the word. I still don't like the word, but it's now kind of transcended what it originally was portrayed to be.
It's got a and a guh in it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's audio. What I get frustrated with, and I think the panel that we were both on at the podcast hotel, you know, yelling at people, I'm like, it's not a genre. Or, it is a genre. It's not a genre. Sorry, I'm like losing it here. It's not a genre. It's not a file type. It's just a process.
A mechanism.
Right, and that's what's frustrating is that people think we put a fancy new word on an old technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, we made it easier to get from point A to point B, and then Libsyn took it a step further and made it even easier to make the process happen.
We like to think so.
So, who do you guys consider your competition? I noticed you mentioned Odeo.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to say the very canned response, which is that this is going to be a very big space, and we think there's going to be lots of places for all sorts of different services. But, you know, what's the answer? That's the truth. I don't know. We got to watch what the big guys do, of course, because somebody like Google could come and stamp us out in 2 minutes, potentially.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I think we've got a good relationship with our customers such that they're going to want to stick with us, and we're going to constantly try to cater to the needs of the podcast or those specific things. When iTunes came out, we had the iTunes tags ready that evening because, you know, Dave Chican hacked it in immediately because we wanted to be on top of things, and we knew our customers needed that. And I don't think some of the bigger guys can do that, can be as flexible or be as, in some regards, I don't know, reckless with ideas. So, but, yeah, the Yahoos, the Googles, Podshow is going to be a big one. I mean, obviously, they're coming right into the same space here.
What do you think Podshow's up to?
Well, we know a lot from the... I was listening to the podcast 411 interview from yesterday. Did you listen to that with Ron?
No.
And Adam and the guy from Limelight?
No, I should.
So, yeah, they're moving. You know, they're going to open up the podcast delivery network. And, you know, it sounds very solid, and they're working with Limelight, and that's awesome. And, you know, same sort of thing. They have a whole world envisioned for the way that things are going to work. And I still hold the fact that you got to hang at the coffee shop you like to hang out at, you know, and you got crews that you want to hang out with, and I think that analog is going to be there. And if anything, you know, there's all this fun RSS and blogosphere stuff, you know, if it teaches you anything, that there's personalization and uniqueness is very important. So the people are going to want to, you know, be on their own, be counter to other things and counter to us, but counter to Podshow, or counter to Odeo, whatever. So as long as we all stay sharp and try to fight to keep things as good as they can possibly be for the podcaster wins out, right? So ultimately, that means we got to keep fighting.
Now, when someone comes to you and says, what the hell is a podcast, what do you tell them?
I say internet radio show, internet video show, internet whatever show. They get, you know, it works like a TiVo, right? Isn't that what you say?
That's pretty accurate. Okay, no, I'm just curious. I just basically say it's audio. I mean, I just keep it simple.
Do you think it's not video?
See, now that opens a bigger question.
That's, I think if we bring it back to that element where
but
we
then,
say the, just
but,
the mechanism.
Okay, but then why not stop at video? Why not say any kind of multimedia? It's media.
Yeah, PDF or like even virtual world.
Well, think something simpler. Photos. I don't know about virtual worlds, but I mean photos, images. Those could be podcast easily. They're done. It's done.
No, photos is a slideshow or something.
Well, but it's still.
But if you're subscribing to it,
it's
right,
media.
It's a piece of media.
It's
you can
media.
Have it delivered to your iPhone, and you can be like, oh, here's the picture of the day from the Panda Zoo.
Yep.
And it's the same effect. It's like, okay, something's being delivered to me through this mechanism that is podcasting. Yeah, so I don't think we should draw the lines anywhere. I mean, PDFs for virtual magazines. And, yeah, and you know, the XY data for virtual worlds where you can go and see somebody who created it, like a little performance with, you know, Lego Men in a virtual space that you can walk around or whatever. I mean, what are enhanced podcasts? You know, they're bringing the video and or the image and the audio together, bringing the hyperlinks together. That's quite a mutation from the realm of video and audio. So at this point, I think it's safest if we just say all bets are off and say, you know, as long as it's something packaged delivered through this mechanism, that's podcasting. And somebody in a forum early on called it portable offline devices. I thought that was pretty cool for the first year and a half of podcasting, but now it's going to change. I mean, now. Who knows where streaming is going to be podcasting again? So,
it's going to come
actually
full
with like services like Melodio, streaming and podcasting are already pretty
one
much married
because
they're calling streaming podcasting.
Well, but it is in a way because it's an open directory is basically you know what they're looking at.
They're the aggregator. They act as your aggregator, and then they just feed it to your ears, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, where does it matter who has the aggregator? You know?
Well, but it does matter because there are so many up until we kind of circumvented the system, you had to go through certain systems, and each system stood on its own. And as soon as this disruptive technology or the idea of podcasting came along, suddenly all these traditional, like, very vertical systems had to make way and grow or expand or extend themselves in order to survive in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's I think, the more interesting part of podcasting, beyond the idiots who record it. no, I'm serious. I did an interview this week with someone from streamingmedia.com. They were asking about... what is it, gcast.com?
Uh-huh. GarageBand?
Yeah, they just launched this week. And so the guy called me up, and I was feeling, maybe I was reading too much Dvorak, but I was feeling very curmudgeon-y. And he said, so, you know, have you heard of this Gcast thing and this and that, and now you can do, and I'm like, and? It's like, well, it's new. I'm like, no, it's not. People have been doing this for years. Well, yeah, but this is, I'm like, no, this is not solving a problem. This is another solution, which is fine. The problem is not the tools. The problem is the talent. It's a lack of talent, and the thing
and the presentation as well. I mean,
but it's production. It's production. Don't get me wrong, but it's part of that package.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think that's where the podcasters are going to fail. It's because they lack the ability to carry a conversation. Or the ability to put something together that's somewhat interesting. And I realize by, the time that I'm saying this, I'm sure the people that have downloaded the interview are going to be bored to tears and have already fast-forwarded through this part, so it doesn't matter what I say.
But wait, no, but what you see, this is not... I mean, we have a full spectrum of people. Some segment of those people are not going to be able to do these things, but there's going to be a whole plethora of people that can. And the amount, I mean, just the amount of people, like, I feel a little... geeky about audio because I worked in a music studio in high school, so I was sort of trolling all the Yahoo forums and stuff, and when people started asking questions, I wanted to feel smart and jump in and say, like, hey, well, you know, blah, 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 this is how this works. But, people figured out how to do this stuff very quickly, and that comes down to what? Like, this new culture of just being open and sharing ideas and workshopping things together. So the quality level of everybody, you look at some of these big podcasts, listen to their first shows. They've come a long freaking way as far as they've been making everything compressed and sounding good and EQ'd properly and the proper bit rates. And there's so many stupid little details. Like I tell people when they're starting, you know, try not to get frustrated. There's a whole bunch of crap you got to figure out, but just go for it and mess up and enjoy it, right?
So you actually encourage people to screw up?
Yeah, I think screwing up is one of the best parts of learning to do anything, right? Maybe.
Well, especially if they're paying you $5 a month to screw up.
Well, they could go to one of the free services.
Oh, true. Yeah, but sometimes you get what you pay for. Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But, you know, bottom line is I'm just speaking from the side of as far as doing it, as far as people just getting out and following, you know, the things, you know.
Yeah, but, okay, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's cool. I think ideally that anybody can do it, but that's so uncool that anybody can do it. Because, okay, for instance, the GCast service, and they're not the only ones, it's voicemail. And the quality, audio quality of voicemail, oh yeah, it's so fantastic. Number one. Number two, I hate voicemail. I hate leaving voicemails. I hate listening to voicemail.
But there's still voicemails. It just
yes, but I'm not going to turn it into a freaking broadcast. Why the hell would I want to broadcast my voicemail across the universe? Why would anybody care?
It's just a mechanism. I mean, if this is one kid talking about, you know, he's in the bathroom at school and he's sending a message to his other friend's iPod. In his pockets for the next day, you know, that's fine. You know, that discussion there is just a mechanism. If we want to talk about genres of content, that's totally different.
Here's the problem with that mechanism. I could comb through 20 messages in my inbox. I can scan effectively. I can get the gist of things. Can't do the same thing with a podcast. In fact, my favorite podcasts are? Podcasts and podcasters are the ones who detail out what they've talked about in the show down to the second. And I just look at the list. I'm like, okay, cool. Got what I needed to know. Thanks.
Right.
And I don't even need to listen to it. Those are my favorite podcasts.
There's different kinds of listening, though. I mean, there's certain shows I listen to specifically for the, like, industry announcement stuff. And that's where I'll go and I'll find out exactly what I want to hear. And I'll pick that out. And then there's the stuff that's just sort of that passive mode where you're just giving something a try and it's a grab bag. But they're different. These are different sort of moods or different sort of applications of podcasting. So that's why I think that talking to three people, talking to your friends, you know, giving a recap of what happened that day, that's fine. It's just a mechanism.
You know where podcasting gets interesting for me?
Where?
This is when it happens. When I go down to my car, turn it on, and it tells me what I got to listen to.
Right.
I don't have to plug anything in. I don't have to worry about fussing with downloads. I don't have to worry about fussing with anything. It's just there.
So
that's when it gets interesting for me.
Yeah.
Not before then. Because, honestly, I consume most of my audio in the car. I turn on the radio, NPR or music or whatever. I'm in the car.
Right.
Although, I can tell you, I'm a part of – there's a new product that's going to be coming out called Dual Core, DualCor. And to let it out there, I'm a member of their advisory board. And Microsoft this week has basically come out and announced this new Origami Project thing.
Yeah.
Really cheap PCs, portable.
$599 to $1,000.
Yeah.
Really cheap,
and I honestly think it's too little, too late, too early.
And they threw the whole – I mean, that's a whole other discussion, but I can't believe they just threw the branding out the window. You know, that was just a hype thing.
Yep. And that's I gave my feedback to them early on, and you know they took it for whatever it was worth, you know, free. There's another product. It's not in the same range. It's actually a different one. It's called Dual Core, and it boots between. It's actually a Windows Mobile device. It boots between Windows Mobile and the tablet PC OS. Like the same product. It has two different processors in it.
Right.
So I've got Windows on one hand. I can like play around in Windows. I can do tablet PC stuff. I can do everything in Windows, and it's 3G connected as well as Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. I don't know who they have as a 3G partner at this point, but it does have the hardware in there. So I can download my podcast in Windows and manage things easily in Windows, and then switch over to the Windows Mobile part of the product,
right,
and get a longer battery life and still access all the files I have on my system.
Right, that makes sense.
It's
a lower power processor, the second processor?
Yeah, it's a Windows Mobile processor, so it'll last, like, you know, 8 hours a day.
And there you've done all your complex aggregation from the one side, from the XP side.
Exactly.
Over. Right.
Exactly. Nice, and I've got the storage on there. I've got, you know, it's a 40 gigabyte hard drive, and I've got the management tool, and then I flip over, and it's a mobile device.
Right.
That's, it's going to be I know it won't be promoted as that, but that's certainly a big, compelling reason to get it. Because right now, it's still the syncing process of getting it from this thing to that thing. It's like, oh, damn it, I got to do that? Oh, crap. You know, it's just a pain in the ass. It's still a pain in the ass, and that makes it less of a pain, honestly.
You got to have that routine. I think we said that at the hotel.
Yeah, and I think that's what destroys the process. Podcasting is as simple as click. I don't see it as growing much past 22,000 podcasts.
Well, it's the wire, right? That's the problem. It's the wire. Until your iPod is Wi-Fi and GSM and everything, and your home, you know, your car stereo is as well, and knows your list of shows that you subscribe to because they're centrally located, then it's easy.
Yeah.
And it streams when you need it to stream, when you get your news, when you get your sports, when you get your call-in shows.
Yep.
And then everything else is prepackaged.
Well, I'm going to see, you know, when I do happen to get a hold of a dual core, I'm going to, I don't think it has an audio out on the actual system itself. It might, and if it does, then, you know, I've basically got my podcast device.
Yeah.
It's because it'll download it onto it, and I don't have to do any syncing at all. Done. It's done.
Right.
It's downloaded. It's done.
You spit it right out, straight up to your server.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't even need no connection to the server. I mean, it's a Windows P. It will be capable of handling Windows, so I'll be able to do everything I need to do.
As far as creating is concerned.
No, not creating. Consuming.
Consuming.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm sure I could plug in a microphone into the thing. You can plug a microphone into just about anything and record with it, which is obvious if you listen to the quality of podcasts that are out there.
All right, I want to revisit something real quick that we talked about at the hotel that I didn't push on, but I wanted to address.
All right.
And that's the advanced podcast format. And the audience responded there was that it's a closed format, therefore it doesn't work, right? But you remember this discussion?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you see where I'm going? My point is going to be that, but MP3, right? The only true open codecs we're talking about is like OGG, right?
Right.
I mean, MP3 is not an open codec. Somebody's got to pay Pfaffenhoffen Institute licensing fees, right? They own the technology.
Yep,
that's
correct.
Not open. Sorry?
Yep, OGG is it for open.
Well, now, I mean, one would say, though, also, you got to go with where the momentum is, right?
Right.
Now, if MP3, if we can get to the logic that the AAC Enhanced is no different than MP3 because they're both, somebody owns the technologies, right? And anyone can decode them. So anyone can build in support for this AAC. I mean, if we're saying MP3 is the thing, well, why not AAC? And then that gives us those dynamic links that will ultimately, you know, close some of those circles.
Well, I'm not sure that anyone can decode the AAC enhanced podcasts.
And it's the momentum behind MP3. That's the curveball.
Because it's Apple's implementation of the AAC.
Now, where it'll get interesting is when, and I understand, I know they're not in the same ballpark, but you have the iPod on one hand, very, very sexy. Everyone wants to have sex with their iPod.
I do, yeah.
But you also have the PSP. Everybody wants to have sex with their PSP. Now, the PSP is this much, much, in my opinion, much better media device than the iPod.
For video and video games.
Oh, for video. No, no. Not just for video. Video, photos, games, surfing, everything. I mean, it's really got potential. It doesn't have a hard drive, but then again, you know, their flash.
Flash will be good enough soon enough, right?
Well, right. Well, it's not just good enough soon enough. It'll get there.
The form factor is very much different classes of.
Oh, it's certainly. I mean, it's hitting a different audience, but I think Sony is in a very good position not to overtake the iPod, but to really give the iPod a run for its money. I really, truly believe that. The issue is that most people are only viewing the PSP as a gaming machine. And Sony tries to change that by saying, you know, buy the UMD movie. Who the hell's going to buy a UMD movie?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But the Flash could really make it run. But what about the DS in that regard? I mean, the thing's got Wi-Fi built in. That could be a wonderful device.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's like, this is the way they handle podcasts right now. You could subscribe to feeds, and you could basically download them when you're connected.
But still, I want to, just to clear the thing, I haven't heard a definitive. Is there an absolute definitive that Sony can't write a decoder for those AAC enhanced? Is that a fact? Does Apple hold a patent on it?
Jake?
Which part?
Back to the AAC enhanced. Is there anything keeping Sony, besides the fact they probably loathe the format, besides that, is there anything keeping them from, you know, putting an OS update that allows them to play enhanced podcasts?
I think they can play AAC content. It's just that they they wouldn't be able to play the enhanced files because I think that Apple has some sort of proprietary deal that they're doing with those files specifically. I could be completely wrong on that, but I think I'm not.
We're going to have to ping Apple, because I would say that if Sony was able to play them, if there's nothing legally binding them from doing that, then that's the format we should get behind. Unless we're going to come out with an amazing OGG format and get Apple to, you know, somehow, and that's never going to happen, right?
Well, you never say never.
Never say never, right. BitTorrent, never say never.
You know, and actually, Rio had support for OGG on all their devices before they went, you know. Like,
really?
Yeah. But, you know, like, five people owned their devices, so that was the end of that. But actually, they had support for FLAC, even, which was so cool.
Wow.
Not on all their devices, but on their, like, on their high-end hard drive devices, they supported FLAC.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, the PSP supports WMA now.
Doesn't?
Yeah, it does.
When you recommend to people what format, you recommend MP3, right?
We publish in both WMA and MP3. You know, in the beginning when we were publishing, we weren't sure who our audience was. And we still publish in both. I mean, partially because we're sponsored by Microsoft Windows Media, but also because, you know, just give people the option if they want to.
Well, 50% of our audience is still downloading through iTunes. So, you know, that's MP3, not WMA.
Yeah. The numbers are just staggering.
It could be AAC, but right now we don't really have anything compelling to throw into a enhanced podcast. So,
right.
And it's also the reformatting. It's like it takes time to encode something more than once. And just go with MP3. That honestly, if there is compelling reasons to do something on a different level, then yeah, sure. Then you start looking at it. But right now, there's no payoff. There's absolutely no payoff
for the enhanced.
Yeah, for the enhanced.
But all the Nanos and iPods sold. What's the install audience of that as far as portable devices?
Okay, but who walks around staring at their screen on their portable device? It's in your pocket.
Yeah, I hear you. We started producing a show that we were doing like slideshows, right? Because in MP3 you can drop in multiple artwork, right?
Yeah.
So that was, and we tried to do a ghost hunting show. So we recorded it with audio, and we shot it with video with the intention of going back and pulling video stills out and taking from the stills there and putting them in there so that someone could click along, right? So that you can listen to it on the headset in the car or on the walk, but then if you want to go back and see what the person's talking about, and this is where, like, that file format or the, you know, when you say whether it's audio or video starts to get blurry. But, like, man, let's just say whatever the format is, whether it's OGG in hand, I love that ability to have a slideshow going. It might not make sense, you know, 90% of the time, but there will be certain circumstances where it's really cool.
Well, wait. At that case, you might as well be just encoding an MP4.
Yeah, you should be doing MP4 because MP4 would universalize it, and you could use still images or moving images.
But that's much bigger. It's going to be a bigger file.
Only if you had video in it. It's not a bigger.
Right.
It's not a bigger file because. Like, if you look at H.264, it uses the AC3 audio codec in most cases, which is, you know, MPEG-4 audio. And so you're looking at the same file size.
Or you can go H.263. Well, that will be compatible with the PSP and the iPod.
Or actually, H.263, I think, is what uses AC3, and H.264 uses AAC.
Oh, that would make sense if
H.263 is different than MPEG-4.
No, it's MPEG-4 is a wrapper format for either H.263 or H.264.
Which is where people get confused. Well,
I thought I just saw, I was watching a little history thing, and they talk about why they call it AVC is what is it called. It's called, you know, H.264 is called AVC because it's, forget about it.
Now video codec, I don't know, AVC?
it was joined because there were two different bodies. There was the motion picture and blah, 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 and that's MPEG. And then you had the H.263s. And if you look, it was like H.261, 2, 3, and then 4. And 4 was the thing that they worked jointly on together. But prior to that, because I think on the iPod side, and I could be wrong here, but I think it was in my Mac Addict, that it's actually the MPEG 4. I don't know what I'm talking about.
The Motion Picture Group of Los Angeles is who's behind the MPEG 4 codec. Along with, and I mean, basically, Windows Media Video is loosely based on MPEG-4 technology. DivX is loosely based on MPEG-4 technology.
See, now that's what kills me, is that I don't think Windows Vista is going to support MP4 out of the box.
It's not.
It'll
support WMV out of the box.
I think it's colossally stupid and short-sighted. And I don't care how much it would cost Microsoft to buy, they needed to do it, and they need to do it.
Hey, they'll probably support MPEG 2 out of the box for the first time.
Ooh, well, step forward, I guess. Well, but it's I think that would really, you know, help push that format, you know, forward.
No, honestly though, if what you want is an audio slash image format,
I'd say MP4.
The thing to push for would be to get everybody to standardize on a video format that will play back whether your portable device actually has a video screen to support it or not.
See, that's okay. Where I'd say it'd probably be H.263. Because when I was encoding videos...
Well, it's going to be H.264 MPEG-4 wrapper because Sony will upgrade to support that.
When? At what point? That's the big question.
The next rev, the next time they do a massive firmware upgrade.
We'll see.
Because they've got the processing power to support it now.
Now, see, I don't know if you knew this, Dave, but the next PSP is going to have a camera built into it.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with it. If they were smart... Honestly, if they were smart, man, they would just open that SDK to anybody.
Yeah.
If they were smart. But Sony is just, they're dumb. They're big and they're dumb.
So what are they going to, let's be honest. They messed up. And I love me.
Yeah.
But they were being ridiculous for a while.
Hugely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they've learned their lesson.
Come on, yeah. Everybody loves A-Track.
A-Track, I was a fan. Man, when I couldn't afford a computer, and it was like you needed a little nonlinear
editor.
No, I'm talking
A-Track.
Oh, you mean 8-Track.
No. Okay, he was talking A-T-R-A-C was the format that Sony tried to push forward.
Yeah.
For mini-disc, yeah.
Yeah.
The mini-disc compression. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could actually, what was great is you could non-linearly edit on those old mini-disc decks. So if you couldn't afford, like, a computer with Sound Designer 2 and edit, you know, with a 2-track editor on a digital audio workstation, that old MD unit there would do it for you, and it was great.
Except for you could only output it in analog because there was no way to actually get digital output out of it.
No, it had Toslink out. You could take Toslink out. I had a converter from Toslink to coax, and then I used to send it from that once I did get a computer. I had an SE30 Macintosh with running Sound Designer 2 on it, and then it would come out of the mini disc like that.
And people still use mini discs.
They're awesome, and they were cool. They were, you know, they were so ahead of their time. It just, you know, they got farther than DSS or whatever that was.
I don't know if they were ahead of their time necessarily.
No, they were way ahead of their time.
I remember seeing them at Best Buy. Like there were the CDs and a million of them, and then you had these mini discs. Like, well, why get the mini disc?
No, it wasn't the mini disc playback concept that was great. It was the recording concept that was great.
Yeah.
Well, how was it ahead of its time?
Well, because it was at the time that it came out, your best affordable alternative was cassette still.
And DAT was too far out of reach.
Oh,
and DAT was insanely expensive.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you could have a portable solution that was also random access, which was amazing. And you could edit on it, and that's what really killed as far as I used to love it. You could loop too. You could do drum loops instead of loop, and it was instantaneous looping. It was very cool.
I never got caught up in that whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm a latecomer. But well, you know, Dave, it's the East Coast out. What time out there?
It's only 11:30.
11:30.
11:30.
What time is it there? 7.
It's 8:30. 8:40.
Yeah.
I didn't want to keep you up too late.
That's all right.
You got some exercising to do.
I should let you guys get on to some real stuff.
You got to get on your gazelle now.
There you go.
I'm going to do some push-ups.
There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thanks again, Dave. We really appreciate your time. Alan owns podcasts.com. And that domain has to be the most, you could probably sell that domain, Alan, for more than they sold business.com for.
Well, I'm sure hoping to.
Is that the goal? Is that the end game for podcast.com?
Well, yeah. I'm 52 years old, and I've been... on my own since I was 16 years old. So, I'm getting ready to, at this point, at some point in the not too distant future. But I'm having a lot of fun right now, I'll tell you. We've started a company called Podcast.biz Consulting, and we've signed three major contracts now with major brands to do podcasts for them. So, for right now, there's no rush, and so I'm having a lot of fun.
So what are you doing then right now on podcast.com?
Well, we designed it specifically what you see. I mean, we sat down and we looked at all the different directories and things that are out there, and my goal was to list the best of the best, the top of the breed of each category, go through that on a fairly regular basis and update with what I think are you know, with what our kind of our editorial team thinks are good podcasts to listen to. And then the second goal was to provide one button access to the RSS feed, to the website, and to the episode page. So it was done deliberately the way it is, and I'm really pleased with the way it came out, actually.
So you're saying that we suck?
No, I would never say that, Chris.
Well, of course you wouldn't say it, but I'm looking on the page, and you got everybody else. You got Al Franken.
Not every good podcast has made it on there yet.
Oh,
right?
Yet,
I mean,
okay.
If we... You know, we're going to update it on a regular basis, and I'm actually going to put together a team of volunteer editors—not editors, but people who will listen to podcasts on a regular basis and who want to be part of the team that will decide each week or every couple of weeks what they think the best in their categories is and the ones that they're listening to at the time. And not at all, my friend. You and I have been, I started out in 97, and I met up with you a few years ago now, and you're doing a great job. I think what you do is just fantastic.
Well, not good enough to be on podcast.com. I got to bust your chops on this one.
I got to answer your question. Not everybody makes it there.
Not everybody.
Everybody makes it there.
So
all
you're
of
saying
the time.
You're telling me
we
that
don't expand the page. There are 38 places on that page, and it doesn't expand. So for someone else to go on, someone else will have to come on.
So we're good enough to be number one in iTunes, but not good enough to be on podcast.com.
Yeah, well, you know, just try harder. That's all I can say.
Right. We have to suck. Our interviews have to suck less, I think is what he's saying. We have to get more interesting guests, right, Alan?
Like me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. You know, you guys could be, you could almost turn podcast.com into a wiki of sorts. You can almost install like wiki software, and then you know through a vetting process, really make it a dynamic directory and let people run with it.
Yeah, it certainly can be done that way. We are all in this industry, the podcast industry.
We're
you know,
an industry.
I've
now.
Been involved in internet broadcasting since 97. I was the first talk show on AudioNet. And when they only had one page, and of course that became broadcast.com, and then Yahoo Broadcast after that.
So did you get any of that $1 billion that Mark Cuban got?
Yeah, and Mark never sent me a check for me helping him sell that for $4.3 billion.
Dear
and
God.
I'm still a little perturbed about that. But, you know, one of the reasons why I'm still around is, first of all, I really enjoy it, and I've done now over 500 interviews with thought leaders and authors and speakers from around the world, and that's my area of expertise. It's not technology. And secondly, we're all just developing business models. This is a very new industry, and you know, it's very much still embryonic, and I tend to be cautious. It's one of the reasons I'm still able to be here, you know, around in this business, is I don't try to lead the edge, I don't try to be out on the bleeding edge.
Now, is that where you make most of your money then, isn't through the consulting part of podcasts?
Yes, in producing podcasts for major brands. And, for instance, we do a podcast for Nature's Path Foods, which is the largest organic cereal company in the world. And we talk on that podcast about healthy choices, healthy food choices, why you would choose certain foods over other foods, and the Nature's Path pays me, of course, to to create and produce each podcast.
Has that been pretty profitable for you?
It is profitable, yeah. It's, you know, after many years of slogging it out in internet broadcasting, it's fun to be making some money for a change.
Yeah, I'd say. I'd say.
So, I make no apologies for it. You know, I paid my dues, so...
Now, you got you say you've got about 500 shows recorded. Are they all available through podcast.com?
No. But because podcast.com only lists top of, you know, top names. Not top names, but, I mean, we only list your overall show. We're not going to focus on trying to provide the information about all of the episodes that you've done. And, we, you know, we'll let you do that on your website. And our whole goal is to get people off of our site and onto your site. That's, you know, that's what we're doing.
Or not my site if it's not listed there.
So, but we, you know, I've done about 200 interviews for a place called writtenvoices.com. Mm-hmm. I just interviewed Jeffrey Archer, the famous British novelist, and interviewed Francis May from the movie Under the Tuscan Sun. I interviewed those two people in the same day. So I usually will do, every Thursday I do about four or five of those for Written Voices.
So do you need help with the vetting process of what goes on here? Or?
Yeah, we're going to set up a formal mechanism for vetting for, you know, the biggest single challenge that's going to face all of us is finding what we want. And with 50,000 podcasters, there's, you know, you're going to have to, you know, find a way to not have to trudge through a whole bunch of stuff that's, you know, hardly worth listening to find the gold. And, you know, I mean, everybody has to start, so I'm not making, you know, I mean, when I did my first one back in 97, you know, it was a entirely different thing than it is today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand the learning curve, and I just encourage everybody to be a podcaster, get out there. Everybody has a message they want to get out, and I just totally endorse that. But, you know, it takes a while till you find your sea legs, you know, till you get the rhythm that you need to really be one of the top podcasts.
What have you found in terms of offers for podcast.com so far?
Well, we've had it on, and in terms of what we were going to sell the domain for.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting. I started out at a certain price, and I actually put that price out on the net, and I was willing to sell it for that price. But by the time people started offering me that price, I knew it was worth more.
Yeah.
And that has I've kind of increased the price about five times now.
Wow.
I'm still not entirely satisfied that I've reached...
Man, if I had the money, man, I'd be so there.
Yeah.
I'd be so there.
Well,
because there's so much... I mean, I look at this domain, I think, you know what? You're doing something with it, but like in terms of what you could be doing with it, it could be so much.
Oh yeah,
it could be driving so much revenue for you.
I realize that, but you know, there's no question about it that it could be more. It always could be more. You know, it's a funny story. I bought that domain at 2:30 in the morning. I was, of course, we'd written, you know, a dozen business plans for internet broadcasting. You know, I've been through the .com melt up, melt down, sideways, patty melt, every other kind of melt you want to talk about. I've been through it. And had in my business plan that audio was going to go mobile, but because I don't listen to much music, I really didn't get the MP3 player thing at all. I really just wasn't involved in it. I thought it was actually going to be PDAs were going to be the device that would become pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just banging around on the internet somewhere around September of last year, about 18 months ago, about a week after the word was invented. And I looked at it and I go, you know what? That's it. That's what people are going to grab a hold of as a way of describing all of this. And I just started hunting and pecking and found out that podcast.com had not been purchased yet. Bought it at 2:30 in the morning, bought my podcast.com as well, and podcast.biz, which is the one we used for the consulting company.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those 2:30. If I hadn't had insomnia, I wouldn't own it today. So, but it's, you know, along with it comes a lot of responsibility, and we, you know, we don't take that lightly either.
Wow. Well, I say good luck in pursuing, I guess, future business interests with podcast.com.
Yeah, you know, I'm not chasing anybody down the street at this point in time. As I say, you know, we're getting a lot of business as a result of it. So, but it's sure nice to be at the center of an industry, and there's some wonderful people, including you guys, are in this industry, and so I'm not in any hurry to go anywhere soon.
Well, thanks for calling.
You betcha, Chris. Thanks so much. All the best to you. And you'll probably see that the show up there on there sometime soon.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
When
you're ready to, like, make some money with this thing, trust me, I've got a billion and one ideas.
We will sit down. We're not that far from each other, so one of these days we should threaten to have a coffee and maybe more.
Yeah.
And see what we can come up with.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks
Alrighty.
Again, Alan.
You betcha.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, you get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and more. Plus, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1, that's CHRIS, and the number 1 when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.